This is Jeff Conway. Welcome to our sermon series. Isn't this a great day? Baptism, children, youth, the redemptive story of God being played out. What is God doing right before our eyes? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There was light and there was dark. There were stars, there was sun, there were moons. There were rocks and mountains and trees and streams and plants and flowers and people. And God said it was good. It was good. And at that fall and that struggle that we know about, that our young people describe so beautifully this morning, we understand that the world was filled with wickedness. And a flood came. A flood came and took away all that wickedness. But with Noah and his family, God created a covenant and said, I will never do this again, and put that rainbow up there so that we might know that kind of covenant between God and humanity. And then God reached out and he pulled Abram out of a land and he brought him to his land, the land that God had prepared for God's people. And God told Abram that you will be blessed, your family will be blessed, and your family will be a blessing to the entire world, to all the families. And how awesome and beautiful that is. And then down the line to Jacob, and Jacob wrestling with God and wanting to receive the fullness of that blessing also. And from Jacob, we have 12 wonderful sons that were born that become the tribes of Israel. And we know of Joseph, that young, energetic son who went up to his brothers and said, I had the craziest dream last night. Do you know what I dreamt? I dreamt that you all worshiped and honored me. Isn't that funny? They didn't think it was funny. We know the story of Joseph, right? Into a pit, off to slavery. But out of that time, Joseph there in Egypt, becoming Pharaoh's right-hand person. And in the midst of that, in that famine that was there in the Holy Land, the brothers came. And they came to understand the authority of Joseph and receive that. And so then we know that time period as the people of Israel continued to increase in that land and the struggle that happened between the leadership in Egypt and them, and they became enslaved at that time. And so now we turn to a passage that we know very well in Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God, also called Sinai. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight, to see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their suffering, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me, and I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt. He said, I will be with you. I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. And this is God's word to us this morning. Amen. Another image of the fulfillment of the redemptive story of God. God pulling us, God pulling humanity out of bondage. And so we know this story well, the story of Moses, who stopped and turned and looked and then listened to the word of God. We know that he traveled all across the wilderness to get there to this mountain that was known as a holy mountain. So he was up there on this mountain, and this miraculous speaking of God happens in this beautiful place. And there in that beautiful place, Moses understood the presence of God. And as he celebrated that intimate communion with God, God gave him power then to move forward into life. You know, it's almost become a cliche when people talk about relationship with God and hearing God. I hear God. Well, it's not like a burning bush or anything, but I hear God. You've heard that before, right? Almost become a cliche, but it absolutely should not. The first challenge that we have here is we look at place, and you know how much I adore and love place. I love to study in place, in Ephesus, in Israel, in Rome, wherever I am, I love place. And Iona, I always long for the monastery of Iona. Place is important. But I'll tell you, at St. Catherine's Monastery, that's there on Mount Sinai to this very day, started by Helena, the mother of Alexander. So in the 4th century, this place was picked out on this mountain. So that monastery has been there all that time, and pilgrims come from all over the world to go visit it. And as this book I was reading by Bruce Feiler, Walking the Bible, he meets with one of the monks that's there, and as he's meeting with him, he said something like, you know, this must be fabulous. You must be feeling closer to God because you are worshiping in this place, on this mountain where God spoke to Moses. And the monk's response to him was, no, no. If you're close to God, you're close to God wherever you are. If you're close to God, you're close to God wherever you are. As we move forward in this sermon series of Light the Fire, we are going to be looking at those ways of understanding and discovering what it means to be close to God wherever we are, and learning those practices over the next month and a half that help us walk closely to God. You so beautifully this morning confessed your faith. You challenged each and every one of us. Now each of you, with each one of us, needs to be reminded on this journey as it continues, there are practices that we can follow that help us deepen this understanding of God's redemptive plan for all humanity. That's what we're going to be looking at the next few weeks. Jesus said to the disciples, you shall receive power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and to the ends of the earth. So what is that power? What is Jesus talking about when he's talking about that power? He's talking about another kind of baptism. The baptism of God's Spirit within our hearts. As we confess Jesus as Savior, the baptism of God's Spirit becomes a part of us. So no longer can we say, God doesn't speak to me like from a burning bush, because that burning bush is within each one of us, within each one of you. As you confess Jesus, that Spirit, that fire of God is within you, speaking to you, molding you, protecting you, and encouraging you. So celebrate that this moment and this day. From baptism to children speaking scripture, to youth confessing faith, you have seen the burning bush this day. You have seen it shining brightly in the hearts of all these young people. I look forward to journeying with you for the next few weeks to see those practices that will help us have eyes and hearts and minds that are alive to see the work of God in our midst.